You are about to listen to the undiluted word of God, taught by Pastor Chidiebere Nwokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly, a man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
This morning, we're looking at seven things to know about faith. We started it on Wednesday, praise the Lord, and we continue. Beginning of this year, we started with saying that God is a faithful God. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise the Lord. And we look at the work of faith. Work of faith. And we said there are several things to do if you're going to take the faith walk. The first one will be to listen to God at all times. Second one will be to trust God. Praise the Lord. The third one is what? To obey God. And what is the fourth one? Somebody help me. Listen, trust, obey. And what's the last one? Worship. The person said it as if you're afraid. Praise the Lord. Build an altar, worship the Almighty God. We're going to look at faith. Seven things we often need to know. There are several things to know about faith. But I just chose these seven. First thing is that faith is following God despite difficulties. You know, it's easier to say, I have faith when things are moving very well, right? When everything is working out, you planned it. It's easier to say, oh, I'm a child of God. It's easier to say, I believe in God. It's easier to say, I exercise my faith. Praise the Lord. But truly, faith is when things are not really going the way we've planned it, despite all our difficulties. That is when faith can be exercised. And like I said on Wednesday, the man in the Bible that we use, or I want to use as a good example, is a man called Job. Job, in the Bible, we are told he was the richest man in the East. Praise the Lord. He was so wealthy, so well, he had his children, you know, cattle, several things. And not just that he was wealthy, Job was also a righteous man. Whenever I study the book of Job, I really question myself, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. The man was so righteous, the Bible says, that he cannot eat until everybody in his house, including mates, including everybody, they've all eaten. Before Job will eat. Job was so righteous that he said he made a covenant with his eyes not to sin against God. So righteous that he prays even for his children in case they sin against God in their hearts. Not the one that they committed, in their hearts. That will tell you how righteous Job was. Praise the Lord. But as Job was living his life, serving God, having faith in God, God boasted about him. On the day that the sons of God were together, Lucifer, Satan, currently called the devil. Lucifer was his beautiful name before he fell. When he fell, his name changed to Satan and the devil. Praise the Lord. He came along with the sons of God. And God said, Lucifer, I know you've been going up and down looking for whom to devour. But have you seen my son Job, my servant Job? There is none like him. He said, why is Job having faith in you? It's not because you're giving him all the good things of life. Take away those things and let us even see whether this faith will stand. Praise the Lord. And God smiled because he had faith in Job. Can God boast about you and I? You know, many Christians, when we face the slightest form of difficulty, we abandon Christianity. When we face the smallest kind of challenge, our faith will give way. God said, Satan, go ahead and do whatever you want to do, but don't touch his soul. And Satan went to work. You know, first thing, oh, the children, they gather together to celebrate. Oh, the place burned down, everybody died. And one person was spared to come and tell Job bad news. The devil wanted to break it. The devil wanted to be so depressed that he will commit suicide. The devil wanted to break him that he will curse God or deny God. In one fell swoop, all his children died. As he was talking about that, they came again and said, oh, they were in the field. Everything burnt. All the cattle, everything, sheep, everything just did what? Died. Only I survived to come and tell the bad news. Like I said on Wednesday, if you put it in today's palace, it's like the man woke up one day, maybe his children were traveling and the plane crashed. Everybody died. They lost everybody. Praise the Lord. As he was trying to survive that news, they said, Job, your stocks in the stock market, the stock market has crashed. And your stocks are worth nothing. And maybe the bank he had his money has also gone down. And he lost all his money. Or he was swindled. And he was trying to survive that. They say, oh, all your estates built in different nations, oh, got burned the same day. And they are just rubbish. He lost everything. It was so bad that even his friends said, Job, you know, these are his true friends. They said, Job, because they didn't understand it. It was beyond comprehension. He said, Job, we have not seen any man who loved God the way you love and still go through this. You must have done something wrong. Job, confess your sin. I don't know whether I have a witness here. You're going through something. People are asking, are you sure? Just tell me the truth. Are you sure you didn't commit any sin? Are you sure you didn't break the hedge? Are you sure you're not paying your tithe? You know the virus is scattering your things all over the place. They will ask Job, did you pay your tithe? How come you lost everything? Job, are you sure you didn't kill anybody's child? And how come you lost all your children in one day? His wife. I tell people, Job's wife was a faithful woman. But she broke down. Praise the Lord. You know, a woman that lost all the children, lost everything, and the husband fell sick. Because the enemy struck Job with sores all over his body. Horrible. The woman said, you still retain your integrity with this God. You know, that was her own limit of understanding God. Because she was like, I've not seen anybody righteous. He knows her husband. I've not seen anybody serving God like you. That this kind of thing will happen. And he said, there is God. Job cursed God and died. But Job stood his ground. Job 13:15 said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Job said, I know this God. He's a faithful God. Great is his faithfulness. Even if I die in this, if I perish, I perish. It doesn't matter what I go through. I know God is faithful. That is faith. There was a man who was still following God despite all the difficulties. Sometimes we go through a little challenge and we give up on God. This morning, I want to encourage you. No matter what you are going through, hold on to God. He's a faithful God. And like Job said, even if he doesn't answer you, still love him. Still hold on to him. Because our journey does not end here. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes when I read the story of the rich man and the poor man, praise the Lord, when both of them died, rich man said, Abraham, can I just dip your hand small in the water and put in my mouth? But meanwhile, the poor Lazarus, praise the Lord, was enjoying. And it tells me that here is not the end point. So if you deny God because of a small time here in history on earth, what happens to eternity? Job says, even though he slays me, I will trust him. That is faith. That is the kind of faith that moves heaven. Esther said, if I perish, I perish. She was going to see the king uninvited. And according to the law of the patience, if you go before the king uninvited, if he's not happy, if he doesn't cover her face, that death sentence, the woman will just be killed. But She knew that the life of her people was at stake. And she took a bold step and said, if I perish, I perish. Faith is believing the impossible. If your problem, you believe a man can solve it for you, then you won't even have faith in God. You say, my uncle, my father, my mother can do it for me, right? My friend, oh, my pastor can do it for me. If you're at that level, your faith is still small. Faith is believing the impossible. And that is why I tell people, when you come before God, don't ask for small things. Because if you ask what somebody can do for you, then what is there? Like when we have new guests, we tell them, write your prayer points. And I remember somebody writing, oh God, give me phone. That was her own, what she wanted. But I believe if I'm coming to the owner of the earth, heavens and earth, I won't be asking for phone. Some people have committed all kinds of sin because of phone. Some people have slept with people that are not supposed to sleep with because of what? iPhone. In fact, the one that pained me most was a Chinese boy that sold his liver for $300 to buy an iPhone. A 17-year-old boy. And then it was all over the internet. But then people that did operation didn't do it properly. Today, he's what? On dialysis. And he'll be on dialysis for the rest of his life. He sold the liver for what? For phone. You may laugh, but crazy things are happening. Some who have sold their faith. You are a child of God. Tongue talking. Demon slaying. Fire spitting. Hey, and that guy says, if you don't sleep with me, I will not marry you. Say, hey, this one I've been waiting to marry you. Okay, if that's the condition, God will forgive me. You know, some people even do and like, God will forgive me. They enter the room and sleep with the guy and come out and say, God will understand. You have no faith. You are as cheap as the guy that sold the liver for an iPhone. And what I learned from that is that the guy never knew the value of what the liver is. And a lot of believers form from where they stand on faith because they don't know the value of where they stand with God. They don't know the value of they don't even know who they are. They don't even value the relationship they have with God. And that is why at every small thing, they fall left, right, and center and say, God will understand. Because a lot of people preach all kinds of crazy grace message. Don't worry. Sin. God knows your weakness. God will forgive you always. That's another lie from the pit of hell. Praise the Lord. Faith is believing the impossible. 2 Kings 7, 1 to 2. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, may this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Here we see the siege by Samaria. Siege of Samaria. I think by the Syrians, right? It was a great siege that even the king ate his horses. You know when a king who goes to battle starts eating his horse? There is no heavy food that's finished everywhere. But that is not even the case here. Parents started eating their children. 2 women gathered together and said, you know what? This famine is so much. Let's kill my child today, we eat. Tomorrow we kill your own, we eat. It was that bad. You know, today people are shouting, oh, 3 years of a government that are suffering. I said, let's pray. You know, like we have had July, we fasted and prayed for the nation, right? Say, God, have mercy. Let me tell you, when you read the book of Judges, God's people, when they sin, sometimes they're captivity for 20 years, 40 years. We, the Christians, carried our hands and put the government, right? Against all revelation and prophecy, right? For our selfish reasons. Today we are crying. It's only 3 years though. Let's pray the Almighty God that it doesn't even get that bad. No, in this case, things were so bad that people were eating their children. It was very bad. And suddenly, Elisha just appeared from the scene. Because when the two men were arguing, you know, about the other child to be killed, and they reported to the king was angry. The king said, is there no prophet in this land? If the Lord does not help you, who can help you? If God does not help you, who can help you? You can't call me Elisha. And Elisha came. And he said, by this time tomorrow, there will be so much food in this place that, in fact, you wouldn't even need money to buy it. It didn't make sense. Praise the Lord. But Elisha believed. But the Lord, who the king was leaning on his hand, maybe like his prime minister, or maybe like his finance or minister of economics, or what do you call it, minister of commerce, whatever it is, said, even if God opens windows in heaven, how can people who have not seen food in years to eat, suddenly there be so much food? He said, your eyes will see it, but you don't eat thereof. And it happened. So faith is believing impossible. Has a prophecy come over your life? Hold on to it. Is there any promise of God you are holding on to? And as if God is delaying, hold on to it. Because it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. I don't care how long it's been. My God is a faithful God. Praise the Lord. Faith, believing the impossible. Praise God. We said also, your faith will be tested. Praise the Lord. You say you have faith. It will be tested now. Genesis 12:10. And there was famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Praise the Lord. God has told Abraham, come, I will take you to a place, to the promised land. And he goes to that land. Immediately he goes to that land. Remember, Abraham was a rich man at 75 and saw the call of God with his family and moved with everything. He was so rich. And God said, I'm taking you to a promised land, right? And suddenly you go to that promised land. The devil said, okay, let's see now. Say, is Abraham, he can't wait for him for righteousness, for believing. Let us see. Immediately there was what? Famine in the land. Abraham packed his bag immediately. He didn't wait to find out from God. Remember, he's the father of faith. So sometimes when you fail in your faith, rise up and bounce back. Praise the Lord. I started moving down to Egypt. And because he was walking on a path maybe he was not supposed to walk in, he lied in the process. Oh, Sarah is my sister. Several things happened. Praise the Lord. And because Abraham didn't pass that test, the test came to his son, Isaac. You know, some Bible scholars will tell you, oh, it was a foundational problem. It's from his foundation. Same thing happened to what? Isaac. Because he was carrying the inheritance of Abraham. And the same thing again, famine came in the land. And Isaac, like his father, packed his bag to move. God said, Isaac, stop. Don't people get it? I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. I am the owner of the heavens and earth. I am your creator. I can make life out of nothing. Water can come from the rock. Nothing is impossible for me. Stay here. And let me showcase. Because that was what he wanted to show to the people around us. He wanted to use Abraham to showcase Abraham. Let us read what happens in Genesis 26:1-5. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine, and there was that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and we give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes and my laws. Praise the Lord. Now, what God was trying to do with Abraham then, he did with Isaac. Isaac stayed back. Isaac stayed. Bible says there was famine in that in the season, and Isaac sowed, and he reaped what? 100-fold. Do you know that because Isaac had faith, believed and stayed, praise the Lord, and planted in that famine, he reaped 100-fold, and he became richer than the nation. That was what God was trying to showcase them. He said, look, Abraham, I have made you the fathers of nations. You are going to be richer than nations. Isaac was sorry. The nations envisioned, leave us. You are too powerful and too rich for us. Go, go, go. We don't want you. Praise the Lord. Believe in the impossible. And also, your faith will be tested during mostly times of what? Difficulties. So most times, your faith on God's promises will be tested. I have faith. Prepare. The third thing that we learn from faith is that lack of faith brings serious problems or difficulty. For a child of God, you say you have faith. Every small thing, you abandon it. Praise the Lord. That is lack of faith. It brings serious problems. Maybe you have promises of God that God has, given to you. And because they have not come to manifestation, suddenly, you abandon that track. It causes a lot of problems. Genesis 16:3-4. Genesis 16:3-4. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. God had told Abraham, I will give you a son. Sarah, you will conceive. But man, it's not easier. 25 years waiting for a child. And the woman was not getting younger. She was very old. The Bible says her body was dead. Praise the Lord. But faith is believing impossible. And lack of it creates problem. He said, oh, Abraham, according to our culture, or the culture of where we are currently, a woman can carry the maid and give to the husband. And any child the maid bears, is assumed to be the child of that woman. So, culture came in. Today, we have used culture to bastardize Christianity in this part of the world. Praise the Lord. And Abraham succumbed. I thought Abraham would have said, Sarah, what didn't you hear what God said? And Hagar bare Ishmael. Go and read about Ishmael. Bible says, at some point in Ishmael's life, that his hand will be against everybody. And everybody's hand will be against him. The son of a bondwoman. The sons of bondwomen, their hands are against everybody. But the time will come when everybody's hands will be against them. And this battle, this problem will not be solved until Christ comes. That is the battle for Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. That is the battle for Jerusalem. Because of what? This singular mistake. When you walk out of faith, you walk into trouble. As a child of God. Praise the Lord. Another example is Israel. In Numbers 14:1-25, I'll not read because of time. God has promised them that they will enter the promised land. Few days into the promised land, they send the spies. Go and check out this land. Let us see how good it is. 12 men were sent. They came back bearing fruit. Said, the land is good. Indeed, a land that flows with milk and honey. Praise the Lord. Then they say, okay, send me a report. In democracy, 10 people gave what I call the majority what? Report. They say, the land is good. Oh, very fertile. Oh, very fruitful. But we cannot take it. Reason being, there are giants in the land. If they stop there, it would have been a different story. But they now said something that always gave me worry. They said, we are like grasshoppers. compared to this giant? People of God. Majority said it's impossible. Two people who submitted the minority report, they said, yes, the land is fertile, the land is good. Yes, there are giants in the land, but we are more than able to take the land. Because of who? Our God. Praise the Lord. So the majority, the people believed the majority, and they said, prepare, let's prepare ourselves captains to go back to Egypt. It's Egypt. Voila. So let's go back to Egypt. At that point, they said, let's go back. They almost killed Moses and Aaron. And God said, because you have said so with your mouth, that you will not see this land. From 20 years above, you will not see the land. No, 20 years below, entered. Because of what? Lack of faith. You know, after everything that they have seen God do for them, a journey of 11 days now turned to what? 40 years. Sometimes lack of faith prolongs that problem. Lack of faith prolongs that situation that we're going through. We need to believe and trust God and say, hey, God is what? More than able to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another thing we have to know about faith, that God's provision sometimes is as large as our faith. God's provision sometimes is as large as our faith. What are you expecting from God? That's why I said, don't ask more things. In 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be born men. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thy handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour unto it all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So when she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, she poured out, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children of the rest. Praise the Lord. Go and bring me all the vessels. That woman will have owned a refinery, oil refinery. Because if he had gone to the nearest or the other villages, said, please, start bringing vessels. The oil will have been what? Killing it. But the oil stopped according to the number of vessels she provided. Do not limit God. Take the limit of God. Some of us come before God, you are asking for things He's already given to you as a child of God. You know, as a believer, there are things that are already yours. But a lot of people don't have it because of what? Ignorance. Praise the Lord. So when you come before Him, don't come with few. He said, borrow not a what? A few. Borrow a lot. Bring a lot. When you come before God, you know you have come into the presence of a big God, a great God. And don't go there and be asking for peanuts. That's not some people's life. God is trying to give you a Mercedes Benz, and you are there. God, if only I can get a motorcycle, I'm okay. And Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. So you ask for a motorcycle you get. You ask for Benz you get, right? I'm just trying to give an example. When you come before God, what are you asking God? Peanuts. Praise the Lord. Another example of this is 2 Kings 13, 14 to 22. Elisha was sick and about to die. Praise the Lord. And Josiah, the king of Israel, came to see him. And at this point, He was being tormented by his enemies, Syria, as usual. And the man of God said, take your bow and arrow and let me put my hand on you and shoot. Praise the Lord. And shoot in the direction of Syria. He just took the bow. First one, second one, third one, he stopped. Kai, man of God said, Joshua, what is wrong with you? See here, this quiver full of arrows. You should have kept on shooting until Syria is destroyed completely. Now, you have only three victories after that. You're back to where you are. Maybe the man was saying, okay, let me just shoot. Praise the Lord. So sometimes, God's provision is as big as what? Your faith. We need to grow our faith. And then now we learn from the story of Job, which is the fifth point, that adversity destroys counterfeit faith. I have faith, I have faith. When you are tested, when problem comes, we know whether you have what? Faith. Praise God. Praise God. Job 1, 9 to 12. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him? And about his house, and about all that he had on every side. And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will cause thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. When challenges come, all those who pretend to have faith, they will be exposed. Praise the Lord. I don't need to dwell much on this. If anybody is saying he has faith, when challenges come, that's when it will be tested. And if their faith is fake, that's when it will be revealed. Praise the Lord. Some people, any small thing, they just give up on God. And you are a child of God. Tongue talking. Demon slay. Right? And when the slightest problem comes, you abandon God. Your faith is small. Praise the Lord. Another thing we learn from faith is that faith grows. It can be increased. You know, just like a child learning to walk. They start with learning to sit. Praise the Lord. Learn to stand. Then learn to walk. Learn to run, right? Praise God. So does our faith grow. You know, it takes faith for a child to even sit and say, I won't fall, right? It takes faith for the child to say, daddy, do her like that, and they will stand, right? It takes faith for a child to take the first step. So if you don't begin to practice this, your faith will never grow. And that was why the apostle said, "Lord, increase our faith." Luke 17:5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." We want to grow in faith. But growing in faith is being more like Jesus in character. Growing in faith is bearing fruits of righteousness. Praise the Lord. That's how you will know as a child of God whether you are growing in faith. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Praise the Lord. You know, as a child of God, you say, Pastor, I'm growing in faith. You know, when we talk about faith, people think about what they get from God. That is the basic. That is elementary, right? Talking about your faith growing is bearing fruits of the Spirit. Now, as you begin to mature in the Lord, and as your faith increases, you begin to love more unconditionally. Praise the Lord. You see, until you know that God loves you, you can't even love yourself. Talk less of what? Loving another person. So as you increase in faith, you begin to love more. So one way to measure whether your faith is growing is, how are you loving? I don't mean carnal love here. Praise the Lord. How are you loving? How are you loving God? Because there are certain things that when you love God, that constrains you from doing. I know in this age, there are all kinds of temptation out there. People even give you what I call indecent proposals. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell people what constrains you is the love. I don't want to use the word fear. The love of God. I won't be doing this to hurt God. Praise the Lord. So as we increase in faith, your love grows. As you increase in faith, you begin to love more. You love your neighbor as yourself. You begin to see things from the glasses of love, from the love perspective. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The next fruit of the Spirit is joy. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How do you know that you are growing in faith? Tribulations will come, right? But how you know a child of God who is growing in faith is that you know that Jesus has assured you and I what? What? Victory. He said, tribulations will come, but I've already overcome for you. Praise the Lord. So when you have this realization, no matter what comes your way, you rejoice. That is when your joy is no longer a function of your situation. That is when your joy is no longer a function of your circumstances. That is when your joy is no longer a function of what you have and what you don't have. Because you have faith that in the end, you'll be victorious. Oh, I'm going through this thing right now. The devil is just trying out. You know, God has a way of dealing with the devil. He allowed the devil to play what? His last card. Like the story of Joseph. Joseph was kind of the destiny of Israel. Praise the Lord. You know, God gave him the vision at the age of 17 of greatness. His faith was tested for 13 good years. The devil tried everything. Because he didn't have power to kill him. That's why they couldn't kill him inside that pit. Because he didn't have the permission. Because he knew that if Joseph would survive, Israel would survive. So let me kill Joseph now. But he didn't have the permission. Nobody can kill you, let me tell you. If God does not permit it. That was why they said, let's not kill him. Let's send him into, put him into slavery. He entered into slavery. And like I said on Wednesday, you know, sometimes life is interesting. You read the Bible, it's so sweet. A prince, a child of God, praise the Lord, was sold into slavery. In those days, when they sent him into slavery, they would put chains on their neck. Eh? Chains on their legs. Eh? Chains. Their hand. And tie all of them together. They'll be moving in a straight line like that. Some will have said, if there is God, I will serve him again. You know, I've seen somebody said, I told God, God, if you don't give me this job, I will not serve again. I said, keep quiet. You're a foolish man. I told the person, just job. You can't serve God again. And you're a child of God. Challenges will come. Joseph carried chain on his neck, his waist, his leg, and they entered into Egypt. Praise the Lord. And a child of God who had a vision of greatness, knowing God is really sat down and they were praising him. And I can imagine Potiphar entered the market that day. They said, ah, whenever you bring slaves, I have told you, I'll be the first to select. They said, yes, sir. And they brought that badge and Joseph came. When they come, they will all stand. They come and hit their chest, hit their chest. Hear their side and see how fit they are. He said, this one, he's very handsome and muscular. I think I need him. Joseph thought he was suffering. But God was actually orchestrating his steps to the palace for what he wanted to do for him in future. Praise the Lord. Joseph got into Potiphar's house. Ah, at least no more chance. Praise the Lord. No more chance, right? There was food in the house and a beautiful woman who wanted him. Bible scholar says Potiphar's wife was one of the most virtuous women in Egypt. But because the devil wanted to kill this man, because he knew that the only way he can derail this man's destiny is to get him to sin against his God. If he's able to make him to sin against his God, he will derail his destiny. He entered into Potiphar's wife. Joseph, sleep with me. There's nobody in the house. I can imagine the woman scheming. sent away all the maids. You, go to Ibadan, buy me that yam on that road. Praise the Lord. You, go to Goshen, ensure you buy that dress and they make by that special this and there. All of them will have left the house. Joseph, there's nobody here, only two of us. Come, lie with me. And Joseph said, no. If I be doing that, I'm not sinning only against my master, but I'm sinning against God. He passed the exam, and you will have thought, heaven will have said, hey, I set him free. He moved from the house to what? Prison. But that was all part of the what the divine orchestrator was doing what? Doing. From Potiphar's house into the prison. But you know one thing about Joseph? In all this, he had his joy intact. Bible said he never sinned or spoke against God. He was still a normal, cheerful person. Even in prison, they noticed immediately he became the head of all the prisoners. And at the right time, God brought him to the palace. Some of us have cautioned our destiny because our faith was so little. And we couldn't build on it. We couldn't increase it. Because as you move to the next level of your faith, so will the blessing come with it. And so also, somebody says, a new level, a new devil. The devil will come with a new trick. Praise the Lord. But you need to hold on to God. Joseph held on to God. His joy was not dependent on the prison. His joy was not dependent on Potiphar's house. His joy was not dependent on saying, you know who I am? I am Joseph. He was the 11th child, right? Of Jacob. I am a descendant of Abraham. You know, some people have missed it in life because they've never been able to let go of their past. Maybe they had a good past and something went wrong. And they're never able to say, okay, yes, I've lost it out. Let me start that afresh. They say, I am this. They keep on holding on to it. And they miss out. Praise the Lord. So as your faith increases, the fruits will also do what? Begin to manifest. So your joy is not dependent on your situation. Your joy depends on the finished work of Christ. You know, Christ has given you what? Victory. Praise the Lord. The next one is peace. Only genuine faith in Jesus Christ brings peace in tribulation. You say, I have peace. And when the day you say you had peace, that's the day the devil increased the fire. That thing you're going to, you said today, I am trusting God. I'm going to come out of it by God. That day, what they do? They put more fire. What are they trying to see? Let us test this peace he has. But if you know your faith is in the Prince of Peace, and you say, no matter what happens, even if he slays me in this situation, I know he's God. I know he has my best interest at heart. Praise the Lord. The next one is kindness. Another way to know whether you are growing in faith is your level of kindness. You have to start making room for others. I like the song that they said, other people see weakness, but you see my need. Praise the Lord. Other people see what? Weakness. But you, God, sees my what? Need. You see, as you begin to grow in the Lord, and your faith begins to increase, praise the Lord, you become very kind. You know, human beings are weak naturally. Praise the Lord. And you will tend to help to build up, not to destroy. Praise the Lord. The next one is goodness. Remember, we're talking about God, Lord, increase our faith. Increase, how does your faith grow? Goodness. Doing the right thing for the right reason. It starts with the heart. Let your thoughts be pure. Let your words be pure. Let your actions be pure. You know, by God, all actions are what? Weighed. What is your motive in the things that you do? I am a Christian. I am growing in faith. Check your motive. If you are growing in faith, your motive also will have to grow. Before you do things, you understand, what is the motive? Why am I doing this? Until we get to that level, we are still babies in faith. You must bear fruit. That is a sign of growth in faith. Praise the Lord. You have to be good to others. You have to be good to others. Faithfulness. That's one of the toughest things in Christianity. To be a good steward. To stick with people through up and down. Loyalty. is very, very tough. Praise the Lord. But the moment you begin to increase in faith, you tend to be more loyal. Of course, to the Almighty God and to people that have the same understanding. Praise the Lord. But these days, people betray people even for sweets. Even for the slightest thing. I'm telling you. They just betray you. Even for people, even betray for no what? Reason. Sometimes I wonder why did Judas betray the cousin Jesus? It wasn't the 30 shekels. Praise the Lord. What was it? Was he envy? Was he jealous? I don't know. But as you begin to increase in faith, you discover that you tend to be what? More faithful. That's how you gauge. Faithful in the things of God. Faithful in your relationships. Faithful to your family. Faithful to your spouse. Praise the Lord. That's how you begin to gauge whether you're growing in faith. Because sometimes when we say, oh, increase our faith, people just pray without having understanding of what it means to do what? Increase in faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The next one in the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. We need to learn to be gentle. Sometimes we're very harsh, abrasive, overtly critical, angry. You know, with ourselves. Some people are with ourselves. Some people never forgive themselves. That's why they commit suicide. You've done something, God has forgiven you, but let me tell you, the work comes. Yeah, there's something yesterday that really got me. I was so angry. You know, they said a young businessman committed suicide in a hotel because a lady he slept with accused him of raping. You know, but when I read the testimony, what I got there, this guy is very rich. And girls flock to him. They send him nude pictures. And I can identify with that. Somebody sometime, was it 2 years ago, right? Or last year? Sent me a nude picture, complete. Say, Pastor, this is what you are missing. If you just need it, this is my number, call me. Ask my wife. Praise the Lord. Everywhere, they're looking at me. The devil is not a play. But the only one who will take this in serious, the devil is not playing. Praise the Lord. And from what I got from that story, yes, they had fun, blah, 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 slept with the woman. Then 2 years after, the person went on the internet and started blackmailing the guy. And the guy said, look, my mother is sick. Don't do this. Eventually, the mother read the story and the woman died. And the boy took his life. But I was just angry. Why would he do that? Yes, okay, you've done something wrong. Repent. Even if, no matter what the enemy tries, Jesus still loves you. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we are so harsh. We criticize. And we tend to destroy. Today, a lot of people are having mental health challenges. Be careful how you talk to people. In fact, be careful how you even argue with people along the road. Because the person, you don't know whether he's just on his last bam. He just say, I will kill this guy, I'll kill myself. The other day I read in a bus stop, a car, the busman said he wasn't going again. Turn right. They came and said, give us back our money. The conductor refused, started hitting one person. He brought that knife, stabbed the passenger. There are all the people there now. I think the passenger died. There are all the people now gathered there and now kill the conductor and burn the bus. There's so much anger everywhere. Be careful. Sometimes you need to just do a step away, lose some of your rights, and move on. Praise the Lord. Gentleness is key. That's how you measure whether your faith is growing or not. How gentle are you to people around you? Do you give people second opportunity? Do you empathize with them? But that is not the license to remain in your sin when you are being empathized with. Praise the Lord. And the last one is self-control. Self-control. If you don't have self-control, then you've not started the journey of faith. Challenges will come left, right, and center. Self-control. Nothing lasts forever. If they give you all the money in the world, at some point, it will go. They give you all the women in the world, at some point, you get tired. They give you all the food. You know, gluttony is a sin. You eat. At some point, what happens? Self-control. What? Self-control is key. That's how you measure whether you're growing in faith. Sometimes you say, thank you. They offer you this. You say, sorry, I don't want. Praise the Lord. And the final thing to know about faith is on faith and works. James 2, 14 to 26. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and had no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if he had no works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, that doest well. The devil also believe and tremble. But we thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, we said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Yea, see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith. And not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messenger, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You know, people read this and misconstrue it in different ways. Bible is not saying, oh, you will be saved by works, just go and be doing good works, right? What this scripture is saying is that you say you are a child of God, you have believed in God all these years, right? What faith does for you when you believe in God and have faith is that it begins to do what? Produce fruitful works. So you say, I have faith, I believe in Jesus Christ, and there's no works. You're not producing fruitful works. There's no love, no peace, no joy, no goodness. Praise the Lord. No self-control. The same way you were 10 years ago when you gave your life to Christ is the same way you are today. And you say you have faith. No, now, if you have faith, it must produce fruitful works. If not, your faith is dead. That is the summary of that scripture. People preach all kinds of craziness from this. It's not saying, no, that you have to come to God by your works and not have faith in God. No. This scripture is talking to believers. Yes, you have faith. You believe in Jesus Christ, right? That's the element. That's the first level. And the Bible says, walk out your faith with fear and what? Trembling. And that's what James said, that even the devil believes and does what? Trembles. But some of us will use grace. When we see God, we'll commit sin, look into his eyes, say, shall be grace there now. Praise the Lord. This scripture is for believers, not unbelievers. He said, when you have faith, then your faith should result to fruitful works. So show me your faith, and I will see your works. You say you have faith as a child of God, right? I will then begin to see the works that manifest from your faith. You've given your life to Christ, there's no change. Any small thing, you fall for it. Where is your works? Fruitful works. Praise the Lord. Where is your works? If you have faith, then it will produce what? Works. They go hand in hand. Abraham believed God. Like I said, their faith will be tested. God said, Abraham, I know you have waited for this child for 25 good years. Right? Bring Isaac, your only son, whom thou lovest, and sacrifice him to him. Most of all, I said, get thee behind me, devil. This is not the voice of God. After God has promised me a child, and a child has come, how can the same God now say, sacrifice him? Does it make sense? He said, get thee behind me. But because Abraham has formed the habit of listening Remember we were talking about walking in faith, right? Listening to God. He has already understood the voice of God. He said, yes, sir. Isaac. Isaac wasn't a baby. Isaac by this time was a strong teenager. Because the traveled miles, carried heavy load. And Isaac was like a type of Christ. When he got Abraham, said, oh yeah, said, daddy, we have brought everything. Where is it? He said, God will provide. Don't worry. After God has already provided you. He said, oh yeah, carried him. Isaac could have kicked his father, punched him, said, you want to kill me? Right? But he was a gentle like a lamb. That's why Bible scholars say he's like a type of Christ. Willingly, he laid down. His father tied him, put him for sacrifice, raised his knife to stab, to kill him, to offer him. God said, stop! Abraham had faith. Abraham had what? Works. Praise the Lord. Rahab was a harlot. Nobody gave him a chance. But he had faith coming by hearing the word of God. How God has defended his people. Great things he has done for his people. He said, I want to serve this God. And when the spies came to her place, he said, hey, I will help you. But please remember me when you take this city. She had faith. The faith produced work. Right? She hid the spies and saved them. And they went. Imagine when they are counting heroes of faith. They mention Abraham side by side by Rahab. And that's why the Bible says that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, just tiny, and that's what God demands from you and I. Some of us don't even believe. And even though we say we have faith, look at Abraham, 25 years of waiting, and give me the child. This is like somebody saying, ah, God, if only I can buy that fine car. And suddenly the car just appears, bam. The first day you brought that car out, said, driver, take it to go and buy me this. Suddenly just clear the car. Bozar, the car is smashed into pieces. Where is your faith after that? You say, hey, it's from my village. They have come again. But why? They will start asking, but why? God said, give me that same thing you've waited for. Let me take it from you and see whether you still serve me. Abraham, bring him. Faith and works go together. When you have faith, it will produce fruitful works. And when you begin to produce fruitful works, no matter what the enemy throws at you, you say, God, I am sold out to Jesus. Let us bow down our heads. Let us bow down our heads. I want everybody here to begin to reflect. If there's one prayer that you need to pray today as a child of God, for those who have given their life to Christ, you say, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, increase my faith. I want to grow. You've been born again for several years. There's no change. You've been born again for several years. Any small thing, you fall by the wayside. Your faith is not producing works. That faith is counterfeit. That means we're not being real. We claim we have faith, yet at every small challenge, we fall. And we say we have faith. Faith produces fruitful works. Ask God to increase your faith as a child of God.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services, and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muriokola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos. Or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.